Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Kelly Newcomb, the founder of Brave Parenting. Today, I'm going to be talking about Uber teen accounts. And along with that, we need to talk about teenage independence. Because if a teenager is going to be using Uber, I think that there must also exist a level of independence, both from the teen themselves, but I think there also must exist a belief in and a sort of like level of trust in the teen's independence on the parent's part. So let's unpack a little bit of teenage independence before we get into the nitty-gritty of Uber teen accounts. I think it's safe to say most everyone will agree that teenage independence is just not the same as it once was decades ago. The internet has just changed humans, both adults, parents, and children. We have access to so much information. You know, parents now have an extensive knowledge of every risk possible for their kids. And so they kind of respond not to want to leave them out of their sight. And so their independence is a little bit hindered. And kids, teenagers now have access to every piece of information, good or bad, holy or evil, safe or dangerous, that adults have access to. And so that changes them as well. Just considering access to information alone, teens can certainly feel as though they are on the same level as the adults in their life that are kind of telling them what to do. And to them, that feels like independence. Like, I don't need you to tell me how to do this because the internet can already teach me. And so they feel like that is a level of independence. But let me be clear. In many ways, teens are right to want to fight for their independence because this is fundamentally how God designed them, right? The time of puberty isn't just a nuance we have to endure. It is a physiological transition from childhood to adulthood. And if you consider that over the course of history, the teen years were when kids were considered to be adults. Just consider like the Jewish bar mitzvah. It celebrates, you know, at the age of like 12 and 13, the coming of age. This is when Jewish children were then responsible for their own decisions and actions, which we would call like independence and adulthood. That ritual that is still practiced today, it was, you know, developed from the 14th century on. But its practice is recorded all the way back to the 2nd century. So for a long time, 12 to 13 was considered, right, not only the time of puberty, but the time of entering into adulthood. You could just consider the industrial era. Even then, teenagers were expected to work to support the family. There wasn't a concept of allowing a child just to do nothing but to consume entertainment or hang out with friends. Like typically, by the age of 15, they were considered adults capable of managing significant responsibilities, and many of them were married. It really wasn't until after World War II that the term teenager was actually used. After the war, there was this like abundant prosperity that led to the rise of the middle class and a growing emphasis on education, and of course, the competition that lies therein. And over time, parents began to cultivate their children's lives rather than simply keep them alive and ensure that they become productive members of society. Sociologist Vivian Zelizer observed that kids went from being useful to being protected during this time. And I think this is a fascinating observation. And so she described it by saying that kids became economically worthless, but emotionally priceless after World War II. So, you know, we love our children just as parents have always loved their children through the history of time. But now we have more money and more time and resources to give our children opportunities to learn and to develop and to enhance their skills. And we provide them an abundant opportunities for fun and happiness in their childhood. And we still protect them at all costs, right? Ensuring their safety at every turn. I think that's what we mean when we think of cultivating our children's lives rather than just letting them grow up as children have for centuries. So I know a lot of parents right now who are regularly wrecked with concern or anxiety or fear over what will happen to their child in the future. You know, part of this is, are they going to grow up to be successful? However you define success. You know, some of the concern is just like fear for their safety, both physical safety and emotional safety. You know, and to deal with their physical safety, a lot of parents will then track the child's location. To deal with the child's emotional safety, you know, they continue to pave the arduous and rough terrain that adulting is, and to make it easier, to make the road happier and a more pleasant experience. But I firmly believe that every parent knows from their own life experience that you just cannot hand independence to someone on a platter to just like be consumed, or just hand them that as a gift that they can just open up and just have and own and wear, so to speak. You know, independence is something that you have to kind of grow into. You can grant it to someone, but they have to practice it and they have to kind of hone the skill of what it's like to be a responsible, independent person. So naturally, I think then independence is best, if we think about it this way, when it is granted as children grow old and different avenues, different places, we grant them independence, and then they can practice that. They can hone their skills in that. And then as they become responsible and independent in certain areas, you continue to give that, right? We're not going to just all of a sudden at 18 call them independent. That will never work. So I offer this really as a backdrop to our discussion surrounding some of the technology-driven conveniences that feel like independence. But in reality, all of these conveniences come at a cost. And I think that we need to evaluate and think biblically about these conveniences and how they can shape teenagers and their independence. And yes, just to be clear, we do want our teens to feel independent. It's not a bad thing. We should not want them to feel perpetually dependent on us. If we want them to, if we actually desire for them to remain dependent on us, that can really only mean that we are dependent on them to make us happy and fulfilled and to have purpose and meaning and fulfill whatever need they may have, right? That's more of like a codependent relationship between the parent and child, which is not healthy. We want our kids to feel like they can go out on their own and do things as an independent young adult. So some of these modern conveniences, I think, especially today, what is germane to our discussion on teen independence is Uber teen accounts. Now, this is a fairly new feature from Uber, allowing teens to schedule rides and food delivery from Uber Eats under parental supervision, or at least under the financial security of the parental credit card. Now, when I get into this, I think it's important for us to know a little bit about Uber. So let's just talk about Uber as a company before we get started. So I think we have listeners, you know, from all over. And I know some people, they know what Uber is, but maybe you've never used an Uber for a ride or Uber for food delivery. And so the idea of ordering a ride from your phone, this idea came to the founders as they found themselves, there was two guys, without a taxi on a snowy evening in Paris back in 2009. They thought, wouldn't it be great if we could just order a ride from just anybody with a tap of our phone? And I remember the iPhone came out in 2007. So this is a really early idea that they were using their smartphone and thought this would be really fantastic application. Well, now Uber operates in 65 different countries. In 2023, Uber generated $37.2 billion in revenue, with $12.1 billion of that coming from food delivery. Now, Uber holds about 75% of the market share for ride-sharing services. They still call it ride-sharing services, even though it does feel more like a taxi, but it's still kind of in that classification of ride-sharing. In 2023, 137 million people used Uber, and 36% of Americans have used the service at least once, and the average user of Uber for rides is between 18 and 29 years old, has a college degree or more, and a household income of $75,000 or higher. Now, Uber Eats is the food delivery side of Uber. Now, it only has about 23% of the market share because DoorDash is more popular. It holds about 67% of the market share for food delivery. But nevertheless, for our purpose of our discussion of teenage independence along with Uber teenage accounts, I want to highlight some statistics surrounding food delivery. As of March 2024, research giant Statista reported that 49% of Americans have used Uber Eats in the past year. So half of all Americans have used Uber Eats at least once in the past year. Overarchingly, the research points to the most common food delivery service user being young and low income. 88% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 use food delivery services at least every 2 to 3 months. 63% of the people between the ages of 18 and 29 have used a food delivery app or website in the past 90 days. Now, the National Restaurant Association reports that 52% of U.S. consumers believe that ordering delivery and takeout from restaurants is, quote, an essential part of their lifestyle. And even more, 67% of millennials and 63% of Gen Z feel this way. So over half of Americans say that an essential part of their way of life is ordering food delivery and takeout. So that probably doesn't sound that surprising because we are just a busy society and picking up food, ordering it for delivery, especially for families, has become an essential part of their lifestyle. But what I find most interesting and important to recognize is that the cost of food delivery is 20 to 50% higher than actually eating inside of a restaurant, which is crazy, right? Because especially the food delivery service, you're paying so much more for the food and all delivery fees and service fees and maybe a tip on top of that. So we have the lowest income young people who are ordering the most food delivery, and they're also spending 20 to 50% more on their food. So this is kind of fascinating, right? These Gen Z and millennials, they're the biggest users of Uber services, but it is the higher earners and the educated ones who are getting the rides, but it is the lower income younger people who are getting their food delivered. So hopefully all of this serves as a nice background and illuminates our conversation around teens today. So Uber recently announced teen accounts in 2023 in select cities, but it has now grown to 250 American cities. They say, quote, Uber teen accounts give teens the freedom to request their own rides and order their own meals, all under your supervision, unquote. The idea is simple, right? So teens who either cannot drive yet, or maybe they don't have their driver's license yet and they need a ride, and Uber teen accounts meet that need for that ride by providing extra safety measures and including the parents in the process. So let's walk through what exactly that looks like. Well, first, the teen's account is linked to the parent's account. So yes, the parent has to have an Uber account with their credit card already tied to it and invite the teen into the family account. The teen can then, at that point, once you're connected, request an Uber ride or an Uber Eats food delivery service from the app on their phone, and the parent is notified. Now, when the teen actually starts their ride, their parent is also notified and can track the ride in its entirety, or track the food delivery. Now, Uber has activated several safety features to ensure that parents are trusting in the process and that indeed no one is harmed. First, teens will always be paired with what Uber says is highly rated drivers who undergo thorough background checks and are rescreened every year. Okay, their second security measure is that teen trip destinations are locked once they begin, meaning that the driver cannot change the destination of the trip. Third, there is a PIN verification that the teen will have to provide to the driver to verify that they are getting into the right car. Fourth, the teen account is activated with what they call ride check. And that is a safety feature that reaches out to them to make sure everything goes okay in case the ride goes off course or ends unexpectedly. And finally, fifth, teens can activate an audio recording feature that allows for the recording of their entire ride, either by the teen or by the driver. So those are the safety features that Uber has put into effect. Now, the Uber website states that only the teen can request and schedule Uber rides. Adults can, interestingly enough, schedule rides for other adults, but not parents for teens. Now, that's what the Uber website says. Now, in August 2024, media outlet The Verge reported that Uber was adding a feature where parents could schedule rides for their teens. But I'm not seeing that when I did my research on the physical app. So I'm not sure if that is actually live and active on the Uber app, or maybe if it's only available in certain cities. But as of right now, and how it was originally created, only the teen themselves can schedule the ride. And even though the parent is notified, the parent doesn't have the ability to deny that and say, no, my child can't take that ride, or I don't want them going there. So that's interesting enough. But nevertheless, the parent's involvement in this convenience is twofold. First, the payments that are occurring through the parent's credit card that is on file. Now, the child cannot access that credit card information, but they're also not responsible for any of the payment or the tipping. So I suppose the parent is expected to maybe add a tip once the trip is complete. I'm not real sure, but I'm thinking if there's no tip, or if the teen's not tipping and the parent forgets the tip, then I would think that some of these like highly qualified drivers may not want to be the driver of the teenager. They may not pick up these rides requested by teenagers if it is that they know that it's a teenager, but I'm assuming that they would know that this was coming from a teen account if they're not going to be tipped. So I kind of thought of that. The second part of the parent involvement is that they are notified of the ride or the food request so that they can track it, track the ride or track the delivery from start to finish. So as I visualize this, I'm thinking, okay, I'm at work and as I'm working, I get a notification that my child ordered an Uber. Well, if I wasn't expecting that, like if I don't think that my child is needing an Uber, well, then I have to stop work and figure out why they're ordering an Uber. And so and then I'm going to watch it right intently to make sure my child gets from point A to point B, wherever it is that they plan to go. So my work is interrupted. My anxiety is now elevated because I am watching second by second as my child is in this Uber as they kind of inch their way through the city or town or whatever. And oh yeah, I'm like paying $30 for this ride for wherever it is that they're going. So already I'm thinking that this is not helpful for me as a parent. I think this would actually be more disruptive than to be at ease knowing that my kid is getting from point A to point B. But again, what's to stop them from going places that you did not want them to go? But alas, let me throw another little bomb of anxiety out there for parents. Another allowance that Uber offers is that the teen ordering the ride can bring a friend or friends on their ride as long as those teens are at least 13 years old. So I'm thinking to myself, what about those kids' parents? They don't have the Uber app. They aren't privy to the tracking of their child's location and being notified from the start and stop of the ride, or that they're even getting into a car. Now, if you're a parent who's already tracking their location and you're thinking, whose car is my kid in as they're going from one side of town to the other? Again, all things that knowing what I know about parents who track their kids is just so anxiety inducing. And personally, my thought immediately goes to, well, this could totally get out of hand and expensive for a child who shows no discretion and wants to have either, you know, to go wherever they want to go or to have food delivered day or night. You know, Uber does state that they offer spending limits that parents can set for their teens. So I did check this out and tried it. And You can choose from unlimited amount of spending. I would never recommend that. Limited or no spending allowed. So there is the ability to set a limit for Uber rides and then a separate limit for Uber Eats. So that could be helpful. So maybe in case of emergency, your child has this, but you're not going to let them order food, but you know, you put $30 maybe on allowance just in case of emergencies. But parents are only charged for obviously what the teen spends, and then the allowance resets every month. So meaning kids cannot like save $30, you know, in November in order to have extra money to spend in December to get around town. It doesn't work that way. So parents receive notification when the teen's spending limit is reached. And of course, they offer you the ability to add extra money allowance if needed. Now, as any parent of a, let's say, active, really involved 15-year-old high school freshman or sophomore will tell you, it gets really hard to get that teenager all the places that they need to go. Even when one of the mom or dad is at home and available, right? If there are multiple kids or multiple activities, or you have any sort of life of your own, and those activities are maybe spread across town, it could be nearly impossible to get them all shuttled around to where they need to go. So clearly, I think there can be some benefits to this technological convenience that's offered to us in this day and age. But as always, we can't let a convenience be our guide and compass for life, because all of these conveniences have a cost. They all have a cost. Now, we have to determine whether that cost is worth it to us. And I think that we need to think biblically. We need to think biblically about everything, but especially when it comes to Uber teen accounts, about what this convenience is and what type of cost there is. But first, before we think biblically about that, let's just pragmatically recognize where this convenience could be beneficial. So I think about a teenager who's got like extracurricular school activities. If for some reason you're at a different activity and that kid can't get home from school, could be something like that. A job, maybe they have a job and normally they can walk or they can ride their bike or normally you can take them. But if for some reason you're not available or it's pouring down rain, maybe they would take an Uber to get to their job. That's a possibility. Also, I think about public transportation. If there is limited public transportation where you live, there is no buses or anything else, or if that public transportation is really sketchy and it's actually safer to be in an Uber, that may be an option. And again, like the special circumstances, emergencies, such as a missed bus or a carpool cancellation or an emergency. These could be actual ways that this convenience of an Uber teen account could be beneficial. Now, the secular and really, I would say, the capitalist market world, they argue that there are tremendous benefits for Uber teen accounts. So as a parent, we can list these pragmatic reasons. But in the business world, you know, they claim that teens can get safely to and from social gatherings, parties, and concerts and other events, ensuring they have a reliable ride home late at night. I have some concerns about that. But they also say, quote, teens need transportation to run errands like grocery shopping. Now, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I don't see that practically actually living out in most families of teens that I know, but maybe. They also say teens may be in situations where walking or biking may be unsafe. Okay, that may be true. And they also say teens appreciate the freedom and flexibility that Uber offers, reducing their dependence on parents and guardians for transportation. So there we kind of have that level of independence where I can schedule my own rides, I can go where I want to go, do what I want to do, eat when I want to eat without having to rely on my parents, except that is for their money, because that is the parents' credit card on file. But now let me shift here to the food delivery side of Uber. And I think this is a little bit harder to find justifiable pragmatics in this other than convenience. Whereas getting a teen from point A to point B is often a requirement, albeit sometimes it's like a preference or a choice. and that can be very difficult to solve. Getting a teenager food is not nearly as difficult. And I know I'm going to sound old school, and I'm really praying that I don't sound too judgy, but I'm just going to call it as it is, because I've talked to enough parents about this as I've kind of surveyed people about what they think about these Uber teen accounts and teens ordering food. But I think many, many parents are in agreement with me, but then like the other half are really deceived and thinking that this is actually a good thing. So hear me out. Here we go. If, as a parent, you have basic food items in your home, there is no need ever, ever for your child to order fast food or, I don't know, gourmet food for that matter, to be delivered to the home or the school or wherever it is that they are ordering food delivery. Regardless of their ability to drive, their amount of homework, their stress level, their extracurricular commitments, whatever it is, there is always the ability to pack a sandwich. Again, I know I sound a little old school, but right, we have created such an entitlement of food delivery. I can't think of a single instance when it is a requirement or need to order food delivery. I know kids don't want the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but what happens when we start allowing food delivery when they are teenagers and they're under our roof and we're paying for it all is they become the 60%+ of people who then feel like food delivery is essential to their lifestyle. And these kids then grow up to be young adults with low income. And now, granted, I know that's the nature of being young in the workforce, whether you're in college or you're doing career training or whatever, young people just are generally low income. But they have this extremely expensive habit of ordering all of their food to be delivered. And then they wonder why they can't afford the cost of living because they're eating out all of the time. They're no longer satisfied with eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a bologna sandwich or whatever it is that it may be. I mean, frankly, I don't even know if they're okay with eating ramen, if we will. Not that that's healthy, but I'm just saying they are spending so much money on food, especially food being delivered. Imagine how much money they would save if they grocery shopped and ate at home, even if they took the Uber to get to the grocery store because they don't have a car, right? In the end, most of this can be solved with planning and intentionality, right? If we're not doing this and we're like, oh my, there's no food in the house, the kid has to order food, otherwise they're going to starve. Well, that's just poor planning and laziness, right? Now, I know someone listening can probably cite some nuanced circumstance where a teen is, I don't know, at an all-day athletic event or something, they forgot to pack their lunch, they lost their money, and you know, sure, maybe they need to order food. But in my opinion, you're in communication with the parent orders that food after you've talked and explained the situation, right? The app does not need to be on the child's phone for them to order food delivery at their whim, because we know we can't really trust our flesh. The flesh is weak, and self-control in teenagers is weak. And so they're going to order. They're going to order this because it just sounds good. They don't want the sandwich maybe that you packed them. But overarchingly, you can solve the problem of feeding your child, even if they're on the go, even if they are so busy, by having bread, basic items, right? Bread, peanut butter, bologna, whatever it is in your home. Otherwise, the biblical, you know, wisdom and proverb of raise a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it, which is Proverbs 22:6. That's going to hold true in the negative sense as well. If kids learn and adapt to this type of lifestyle when they are young, when they are teenagers, well, they're not going to depart from it when they are adults. They're not all of a sudden going to become like super economical in the way that they eat and save money and meal prep. If they are not doing that as teenagers, they're going to continue on with the food delivery, which is going to cripple them financially. They will, you know, they're not going to be independent in that regard. They're going to be dependent on this habit, on this vice of I need hot food that I did not cook, that I did not do, you know, work for, or spend time preparing. I just want it delivered to my front door, right? It's that immediate gratification that we are teaching them, that they're going to carry on. And I think the worst part of it all is that mom and dad, you're paying for it. You're funding this bad habit by allowing an Uber Eats account with your credit card tied to it. And really, what Uber wants as a company is the same thing that Instagram and Apple and all the other big tech companies want. They want customers for life. They want the convenience that they offer to become so ingrained in a teenager's life that they cannot imagine life without it as an adult. Why? Because that's a guaranteed money in their pocket. I'm always going to have this young adult dependent on my service. And see, that's not really independence at all, right? That's just like almost addiction. But that is often the way convenience works, is you get reliant on that convenience. You can never go back to the hard way. So as I say that, let's think biblically about the convenience of Uber and Uber Eats. And I think there are several principles that I want us to consider. Okay, the first principle is individualism and self-sufficiency. I think which both of those are just inherent, basically kind of ingrained in the use of the app. The more and more we rely on conveniences to aid and supplement and enhance our lifestyle, the less we rely on God to meet our needs. Scripture informs us that God is able to supply every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he implores his followers to trust in God's provision to feed, clothe, and care for us. Matthew 6:25, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So that's Matthew 6:25-33. So while this passage could also be really equally about worrying, it illuminates how much God cares about our basic needs here on earth and his ability and his desire to provide for all of them, to grow our trust in him. And when teens engage in an abundant amount of modern conveniences, especially at the expense of their parents, how are they learning to be reliant on God? What do they possibly need to go to God for other than their wants? And that's this idea of being so self-sufficient, right? And I would argue that they're not even learning self-sufficiency. They're only gaining a dependency, not only on the convenience, but on the parents for providing that convenience. There's no friction. There's no stress that actually turns them to God. And so the convenience here really draws them away from God with just this individualism and self-sufficiency. Now, the second principle I think that we can consider is that of gratitude and stewardship, right? Scripture speaks repeatedly about how we are to be good stewards of our time, of our money, and our resources. And the use of these modern conveniences can easily lead to a spirit of entitlement. Again, a teen utilizing a parent's credit card and money to get a ride home from a party or a concert or to order McDonald's at 11 o'clock at night because they're hungry is not exercising good stewardship, let alone the safety concerns and, frankly, I would say even the health concerns that come along with this type of lifestyle, which is not wise stewardship of our bodies. There is likely very little gratitude that is developed through the use of these conveniences because these teens are spending money that they'll never see the bill for and they're not having to work to pay for. And this is precisely how entitlement is bred. The definition of entitlement is the belief that you are inherently deserving of something, that you have a right to something with no cause, no work, and no strings attached. Teens Ubering around to their activities and ordering food are generally not thinking about the hard work that mom or dad are putting in to pay for this convenience. Now, maybe some of these teens are, but I think for the most part, it becomes to them what I deserve. Well, I need this. It becomes a need and a deserve, something that they feel entitled to with no strings attached. Like I need this because these are all the activities that my parents want me to be in because my parents want me to be successful. And so it can almost be even used in a manipulative way. But overall, it becomes a delusional way of saying what I think I need. See, the Bible teaches the basic principle of if you don't work, you don't eat. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And I think it's super important. Parents need to memorize that verse. If you don't work, you don't eat. If a teen is working and is spending their own money on food delivery, well, I think that may be one thing. Still not the healthiest or financially wisest of decisions, but at least they are providing for themselves and learning how to manage their own money. The bottom line, I think, is that as humans, we place the highest value on that which costs the most, that which is the hardest, we place the highest value on. If the Chick-fil-A delivery or the Uber ride to their friend's house costs them nothing, they will not value the giver of such blessings. And because it costs them nothing, they'll just keep consuming the blessing as if it's their right to do so. And I'll add this, that the principle of gratitude and stewardship, it applies to many, many of our modern conveniences. But because the speed at which culture and technology keep progressing, we just, as a society, as Christians, we don't stop to consider how these conveniences transform our spiritual nature to be of and in the world instead of living as citizens of heaven. We just say, oh, this could make my life easier. Let me do this. Oh, this could solve a problem of picking up my child. But again, we don't think of the cost. And two of those principles, I think that we really should really think about, not just Uber teen accounts, but with all technological conveniences, is gratitude and stewardship. And the third principle that we must consider when thinking about utilizing a service such as Uber or Uber Eats for teens is the isolation that coincides with its use, right? So I've said this a million times, God created all of us as humans to be in relationship. This is Genesis 1:27. It is not good for a man to be alone. God ordained marriage between a man and a woman and established families as a foundational institution for relationships on earth. We see relational living all throughout the scripture. Even the Son of God, right? Jesus incarnate, spent time in relationship with others. He was God in the flesh and he could have lived and ministered in isolation from others, but instead he chose 12 disciples to walk with and to do life with over the course of 3 years. And we too are created to live in relationship with others and with God through Christ. Now, if we consider Uber rides first in the light of this principle that we are meant to be in relationship and that we're not meant to be in isolation. First, I think it can be argued that Uber teen accounts are actually a reactionary solution to the growing isolation problem. We, and really like every one of us as parents, we're just no longer involved with and supported by a local community or village of people helping us. Now, different people have different and varying experiences, but for the most part, the community and the village is just not what it was. Parents often feel like they are completely on their own to be everything and everywhere for their kids. Now, they might be surrounded by people, but they live with a perpetual feeling of isolation. Now, I could go into all the reasons that contribute to why we all now feel so isolated, but I'll just sum it up by saying that smartphones and social media distort and distract from the real, authentic community that parents crave. I mean, isn't it ironic that we now need a new app and teen feature to solve the problem that other apps and the phone itself have caused, right? I mean, because we are so isolated, because we don't know our neighbors, because we're spending so much time being entertained and distracted on our phones, we now need to pay someone to bring our kid from point A to point B instead of asking our neighbor to help and to be a part of our life in that regard. When Uber begins creating problems like this, you know, I don't know, like boredom in the backseat, right, of the Uber ride, there's going to be an app created specifically for that unique problem. Like, this is what's going to keep happening, is one problem is created and then they'll say, oh, wait, here's a convenient solution for that problem. And I, you know, I see this in my world as a pharmacist all the time. You know, someone gets on one medication, which causes a side effect, and so they need another medication to treat that side effect. And it just goes on and on. And if you've experienced this yourself, you know exactly what I mean. You get my point. At some point, the cycle of adding meds has to stop. And so naturally, I'm led to wonder, when is this cycle going to stop, where we sort of like ditch our smartphones and all of the conveniences that it promises to make our lives better, even though it just keeps giving us more side effects, and we just kind of let our lives reset? Because I think that in many regards, especially with teens, this is exactly what needs to happen. And hopefully we are on a trend where we are doing that, where we're delaying smartphones, we are delaying access to so many apps until they are older, not 12 or 13, because those conveniences have a cost. And unfortunately, these costs are not actually good for them. They're not fostering independence. They're fostering dependence on the apps and the conveniences. Now, let's just consider what is gained. What is gained by the use of these conveniences? Now, if we opt to allow our younger teen who does not have a driver's license to get an Uber ride home from an after-school practice, what is gained? Okay, well, the teen obviously gains their ride home from school on the parent's dime. They don't have to wait around in the school parking lot waiting for you to come. And the parents gain the convenience of not having to drive across town, fight traffic, and to go pick them up. So both parties, both parents and teen, experience comfort and convenience. Okay, now what is lost with this convenience? So what is lost by having that teenager take an Uber home from school from their extracurricular activity? Well, at first glance, you may think that nothing other than risking their safety of riding an Uber or maybe the money aspect is lost. But let's consider what is actually gained by the alternative option of getting home so that we can decipher what's lost. If the parent had picked them up from after school practice, the parent and the teen would have time in the car together, uninterrupted, to talk about their day as they drove home. And this is beneficial for both, because time with your teen without the distractions of life is really hard to find. Now, what if the teen had carpooled with another parent? Well, this not only accomplishes the task of getting home safely, but it also provides time in community, like life on life with other people. That teen has the opportunity to talk to the other adult, to practice the art of communication, respect, and gratitude for someone who is graciously serving them and their family by bringing them home. Not only is there community and communication building for the teen, but the parents are equally blessed with doing life together. That means they have to talk, to coordinate pickups and drop-offs and schedules. They show gratitude to one another. And it feels good to serve, to be that parent, to be able to drive someone else's kid home and to bless them in that way. That feels good to be involved in that type of community. It's a convenience of mutual service to one another. And that generates gratitude. As we know, again, we are blessed to serve and to give of ourselves to others. So then let's return to the question of what is lost by having the teen take the Uber home from school. Well, the teen and the parents lose life-on-life connection. They lose communication that is undistracted. They lose community. They lose the opportunity to communicate, to show respect, to express gratitude, and to serve one another. I would also argue that humility is also lost when the teen feels like they have their own personal driver at no expense. That builds pride. That is not ever going to build a sense of humility and gratitude. It is a good and necessary humbling experience, in my opinion, when a teen has to rely on other people to meet their needs, because that is life. That is life. We should never be so independent that we never need other people. Independence is more of showing responsibility and doing what needs to be done. That's what we should want, the kind of independence for our kids. We should not necessarily want them to be undependent on others, right? We want them to be undependent on devices, undependent on apps and conveniences, right? We want them to grow in godly character. And a lot of times these technological conveniences hinder that. I also think that it's good and necessarily humbling when we as parents, when we have to reach out to our neighbors or our friends or our kids' friends' parents and ask them for help getting our child from point A to B. You know, Romans 12, 16 tells us to live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a lower position. Don't be conceited. And I think that this, we often, it almost is like building our pride when we just, I have to be everything and everywhere and all things to my child. And somehow that makes us feel like we're like super parents. But really, the position where God wants us is to rely on other people, to humble ourselves and admit that we cannot do it all, and to allow community to be built by needing one another, not needing to pay for a service to do this for us. And I think this proves the point even more that Uber teen accounts are a solution to the problem created by growing isolation. Because we are isolated from our communities, we now have to pay strangers to drive our kids around. A much better solution would be to get back into community, get to know your neighbors, get to know the other parents at the sports practices and the games, get involved in your church, be the first to offer to drive someone else's kid. Go out of your way to bless another mom or a family, and chances are they will repay your kindness equally. There are so many aspects of modern technology that is just so inherently isolating. Both teens and adults report feeling tremendously isolated despite being widely and perpetually connected to everyone through smartphones. If we want the rich and purpose-giving benefits that God ordained for us to have, we cannot allow these technological conveniences to isolate us from community. The church is and must remain the heart of the community. As Christians, we need to embrace and serve one another within our church communities before we embrace the modern conveniences that leave us more isolated. So here's the irony. Literally, as I was researching this and preparing this podcast, my 18-year-old son asked me for a ride to the auto repair shop where his car was getting some maintenance done. Now, could he have taken an Uber? Yeah, he totally could have. But I eagerly said yes, because I knew that that was 10 minutes alone in the car with him, something we rarely get because I work full-time, he works two jobs. And so with that said, had he been using an Uber teen account the last couple of years of his teenage, like during high school and whatnot, when he needed to get somewhere, I think his natural default would have been to take an Uber and not to bother to ask me. But that wasn't even on his radar, right? So, I mean, this particular son of mine, he started working at age 14 at a movie theater that hired at 14. And so we spent 2 years before he ever turned 16 and got a driver's license of driving him back and forth to work on top of, you know, everyone else we were probably driving at the time. You know, there were times when I could not get all of my teenagers where they needed to go. And so I would ask neighbors to take them, you know, take one of my children to church because they were serving, or to take them, you know, into town to drop them off at work. At one point, I know I had asked a few of my coworkers to bring them to work or to drop them off one way or another. I figured it out. Was it easy or convenient? No. Hands down, an Uber would have been much easier. But I didn't rely on that. I relied on other people, and it blessed other people. Like, did it inconvenience them? Maybe, but in the end, they were happy to be able to kind of serve my family in this, that time of need. I think so often we forget that the struggle is part of the purpose and the benefit. We are sanctified through struggle and sacrifice, through trials and temptation, right? This is what the Apostle Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. For a little while, you have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The struggles, if you can call not being able to order fast food delivery a struggle, I have a hard time calling that a real struggle, but the struggle refines us. If we give into conveniences, we lose the struggle. And along with that, we lose the spiritual growth, maturity, and character refinement that comes with the struggle. Without friction, without struggle, we live convenienced lives, void of community, in isolation, which is exactly where God does not want us. So in the end, when we consider how God's word instructs us how to live, comfort and convenience are never a part of this instruction. If we look at the quiet life of hard work, minding our business, living to please God, embracing sanctification and pursuit of holiness, as Paul writes in 1 Thessalians 4, it's hard to see that ambition shining through in families where everyone's schedules are so full that they cannot provide for one another directly, that they have to outsource some of their basic care to Uber. Now, I don't want to discount the single working mom who is doing everything she can to provide for her kids, and this may be the only solution. Or again, the family who lives in a city where teens don't drive or you can't have cars and Uber is the safest option, right? There can be a numerous nuanced scenarios where teens may use this convenience for the glory of God. But generally speaking and biblically speaking, Uber teen accounts carry far too much risk for the temporal reward and convenience they offer. Risk to their work ethic, gratitude, humility, and financial stewardship. Equally, there is still a risk to their safety. You know, regardless of the safety features, almost every parent I talked to in my informal research said they would never allow their teen to take an Uber like this based on safety alone. And one person poignantly mentioned, which is super relevant for us, wherever kids go, there goes the predators as well, right? So if teens are now doing Uber rides, well, predators are going to find their way to that Uber rides and teen accounts because that's where the teens went. So Uber drivers may be vetted and background checked every year, but there are just far too many nefarious people out there who know how to bypass security screenings. And I was even told by one physician who I asked about who has teenagers that there are numerous rapes occurring in connection with Uber rides, especially on college campuses when young women are intoxicated and trying to get that safe ride home that they promote and boast that they offer instead of walking or driving, and is leading to all kind of criminal activity. So now, because I am again leaving you with a sort of not recommended outcome, I do want to offer what to do instead. If we're not going to use Uber teen accounts, what are we to do instead? And some of these are actually suggestions given by my 18-year-old son when we were together, because I was talking about this. And so he was actually overwhelmingly condemning Uber teen accounts. He was like, no, there is absolutely no reason why a teenager should ever need to do that. So here are my four suggestions for you. Number one, engage with and in your community. Fix the isolation problem first through your community, your local church, your neighborhood, or with other parents in the school, the sports team, the extracurriculars. Engage with that community to help you solve this problem. Number two, cut back on the schedule of activities, right? If you cannot provide the needed transportation, the needed food, or the needed care, then you're doing too much. Something has to go. We don't want to cultivate our kids' lives so much that we then have to pay for this type of convenience, which diminishes their spiritual growth. Number three, have the teen walk or bike wherever they need to go. That was my son's suggestion. He was like, no, before they get into an Uber car as a teenager, they need to walk somewhere. So number four, if your 17-year-old teen has a job but doesn't have a car and is asking for an Uber teen account so that, for example, on a rainy day, they don't have to walk for work, make them pay for it. right? If they're 17 going on 18 and you feel like they're responsible enough and it's probably safe enough in your town that they could do it, then yeah, you could allow it, but don't pay for it. This is something that they can pay for. If they don't want the struggle, they don't want the friction, then they need to pay for it. They need to learn that lesson. So my final encouragement to this is we want our teenagers to be independent. Independent in the sense that they can do things without us. They can accomplish basic life tasks, you know, such as making doctor's appointments, changing a tire, paying bills. We want that. But as Christian parents discipling them and training them in the instruction of the Lord, we know that their soul dependence must be on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on mom and dad until they're 30, not on the government, not on the convenience of technology, but on the creator and sustainer of all things. So one definition of independent is, right, not depending on another. And we don't want to build up self-sufficiency and self-reliance in rejection to submission or surrender to Christ's Lordship, but we do want them to be responsible, to be competent, and to be contributing members of society who love God and their neighbor and who understand the value of community. So I think that it can be said that the common technological conveniences of our modern age, you know, when we ask these questions, can we Cash App and Venmo our friends as teenagers when it isn't our money? Yeah, you could, but at what cost to true financial wisdom and independence? Can we, you know, track our menstrual cycles with apps? Sure, but at the cost of what personal data, right? We have to think about every modern technological convenience through a lens of what does it cost us really in the end? That way we can go forward, not only raising our kids to not be dependent on these conveniences, but just to grow them maturely and help them think biblically. So hopefully this has given you something to ponder as you navigate parenting teens. One other nuance in this. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I would love it if you were able to, if you left us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps other people find the show. If you want to subscribe to our newsletter, I highly encourage you to receive our algorithm-free information on how you can be a brave parent in the media and technology-saturated world. You can find the link in our show notes. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Until next week, go and be brave.